The MCG is in sight now. This massive stadium that has hosted so many famous sporting events.
It's on its way from Balm and it's through. A few little how-do-you-dos. It's not a tea party out there, but there's no need to make it like Stadium Hall, fellas, so keep it cool.
The pain is temporary, but glory lasts forever.
Balm is there. It hits. Beautiful. Beautiful nail balm.
Because this is something to savour. Something to remember for the rest of your life.
On Hungry for Sport, Friday Sports Chat with Dave Colbert and Neil Barr. All thanks to Airport Toyota. For a great deal on your new Toyota, visit Airport Toyota at Essendon Fields.
It's a very good morning, of course, to DC Barmy and Stephen Trigg.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, there's only one thing. With another person in the studio, it's one third less denials I have to make. It's good.
Have you noticed I've got you down one end of the desk? And Stephen Trigg up the other end of the desk.
I'm in the middle. What does that mean?
Because, well, you're the referee because, right. Barmy, you tried to pinch Stephen's number one ruckman, Matthew Cruiser.
No, we didn't.
And you've had, now they've had
There's
to go
one,
out.
Already one denial.
They've had to go out and re-sign Cruiser on a bigger deal simply because you put up the rate.
We're a catalyst for a good outcome, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's a public holiday.
That's why I got Stephen at one end of the table and you at the other.
Frosty already.
It's frosty already.
It's KB. Frosty. It's not frosty outside and it's a public holiday and we're working. Are we on quadruple time like the rest of Victoria? Whose idea was this public holiday? It's a beauty, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Is that the big issue?
No.
It's not the big issue.
No, there's a few things flying around. It was a difficult choice this week for the big issue. We'll get to that later. I'm sure we'll probably touch on it before we even get to it. But I'm not 100% certain that the public holiday is the way to go. Like, it's great seeing people out having a beautiful day and there's a lot of people out having breakfast and cafes, etc. But I'm not, and that's upsetting me.
Half the people here are from Perth. Have they got a public holiday next week?
Yeah, they don't have it, but
they're all wagon work.
Yeah, and of course, Brisbane's all on holiday as well because they're flying down to Sydney for the NRL Grand Final. Mm. And we're just working, KB.
That's
I hope the
do.
Management come down and give us. Will there be a cake?
It's for the love of the game.
Or a morning tea or something.
for the love of the game.
Look, Stephen's working. He hasn't had to. He's been on holidays for however long Carlton have been out of the season. Sometimes,
oh, hasn't he?
Since about round three.
He's done very little at this point.
When do you take your holidays, Stephen?
Christmas Day.
Yeah,
it's been a busy few weeks, hasn't it?
It has.
Oh, they've cleaned the entire Carlton. There's no one recognisable down at Carlton. And also, Stephen's in a bad mood because got knocked back on the priority pick from the AFL. That would have hurt Steve,
not entirely unexpected.
It might have been a little don't ask, don't get in that order.
That's about right. I mean, and look, I think Carlton people would expect us to have a crack at that because in the old days where it was very well prescribed, you know, 4.5 wins times two, everyone knew. But at the moment, you don't know. You're at the mercy of what the commission thinks. Mm. So it's worth asking the question. We had a conversation with them in June or July, about a whole range of things, our plans, our what we're doing about getting ourselves moving as a footy club. And we did put our toe in the water with priority pick because of, you know, some decisions that have been made over a long period of time and where our list had arrived at. So it wasn't just about the ladder position. And in the event that it's got some discretion about it, why wouldn't you ask? So, you know.
The sad thing is, when you get one, you'll be gone. If you're going that bad, oh, you know what I mean. Yeah, if you're going that badly, you're out.
You're sacking Stephen Trigg already.
No, he knows what I mean. Like, it's really saying you've got to be in terrible trouble to get one is kind of the answer.
And that's the way it should be, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that the way it should be?
Well,
aren't you just rewarding
probably
habitual mediocrity by handing them out?
Well, I think in a sense, if Steve sat down and talked about what his attitude towards the draft is, he'd probably say we want an uncompromised draft anyway. But because we haven't, that's why they ask.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's nothing wrong with asking.
Well, because it's at the discretion. There's no criterion. So what's in their minds, let's understand and let's ask the question. But, Barmy, I have to say that in my own mind, when it was 4.5 wins or less, I'm sitting from afar thinking, I don't like that. Because in the end, you have teams
you can work
playing to
it.
That, working yeah. towards potentially. Potentially. So,
fortunately, the AFL investigated that and determined that wasn't the case.
I think it's the right...
But if it happens again, it will be. I think that's what they said.
Let me put it this way. There's a potential for that to happen.
Now, Neil Craig...
I would have loved to have been in that meeting, though, KB, when Carlton decided we should ask for one.
They pitched.
I reckon it would have been one of the. I reckon there would have been a few giggles in the room. We should ask for a priority pick. Whose idea was it? Who floated it first?
That's in house.
Exactly.
Could you
cabinet
imagine?
Decisions won't be discussed.
So KB, Barmy, and DC sit down and go, I reckon we should ask for a priority pick. And Barmy would start laughing, and you'd go, we've got no hope. And
no,
I'd
well,
say,
we
no,
well
I think
try.
I think we've got a good case.
Well, part of it is for next time as well, in a sense, isn't it? I mean, because it is discretionary, you've got to. There's got to be a position
well,
on this.
Steve would be hoping that the team goes north rather than south.
I half jokingly said. When they get it, he'll be gone.
But it's only a hypothetical, of course. But Carlton won 7.5 games in 2014 and 4 in 2015. I just wonder whether it would have been dependent upon four wins in the other year. I mean, what would that have meant?
I think it's the same as the formula for all the other things that we're not supposed to know. Discretion is the key word, I think.
Okay, but you're an expert on Carlton. How are they going to go next year?
Next year, Carlton? Look, I think there's some terrible years in front of Carlton coming, to be quite honest. I mean, it's a very tough job for Stephen. I mean, there's been talk, I think there was even talk about a side going down to Tasmania now. I don't know whether Carlton, at some stage, they'll try and push them down
Brendan
there.
Bolton can't save them.
Brendan Bolton. Got Neil Craig there too. Yep. That's an interesting appointment because a lot of people see Neil as a very successful coach with Adelaide, coming across and then being director of coaching at Melbourne through an unsuccessful time, going to the Bombers to try and right the ship there at the Bombers, and then all of a sudden he finds himself at Carlton. Is that because you've had a long association with Neil Craig?
I don't think Neil could be hung for the two environments that he found himself in and the circumstances that prevailed over the last 3 or 4 years. What I do know of Neil in simple terms, and having worked with him for a long period of time, is he is an outstanding person, and he is an outstanding football person. And as you've seen, we wanted to reset the team around Brendan as Brendan's team. And Neil brings a wealth of experience in terms of coaching, in terms of conditioning. You've seen that over the years. I think he's perfect for us. Now, my own role in that was to pop his name up in front of Brendan, and then Brendan went through the process to make sure that he got the right people around him. So I think it's a great appointment for us, and as I do with the other assistant and line coaches. But to your first cheeky comment about Tasmania, KB, Carlton will bounce. How far we can bounce remains to be seen, but we need Stephen and his team, with all the support that we can give him, to be calling the names out, well, and to be doing some good work in trade week, and we'll start to bounce. We'll start to build something. Now, how far that goes in the short term remains to be seen, but we've spent a lot of time, and as you've just observed, put a lot of effort into resetting the foundations for some success. The right people in the right places, coaching, conditioning, off field. And I feel like, it's easy to say, but I feel like we've reset really well. So now we can start to grow.
You're going to need a good slogan.
No, it's not about slogans, mate. I know you're being flippant. It's not about slogans.
It certainly is.
That's my job here,
no,
Steve.
The truth about it is that they will
give
bounce.
That they may grow. That's yes. taken by the Children's Hospital Good Friday Appeal, KB. So you might have to go. What was it? I like what we're cooking. I smell what we're cooking. No, that was the best one,
but don't worry about that, because if you look
well,
back,
I worry about
no,
that.
If you look
it's
back,
marketer's job. I like their slogan. I like how they've had a good crack at their slogans.
Carlton, in its own way, have been a fantastic club, and they will be a fantastic club again. But they've operated under kind of an old paradigm, if you like. Let's go and get the who's going to be the one person to take us there. Let's do. They did it with Dennis Pagan, who was a fantastic coach. Didn't work for him. They did it with Mick Malthouse, fantastic coach. Has the record. Didn't work for him. Because, in a way, they were going, who is the Messiah? What is the big fix? Clearly now, and in some ways, Neil Craig is lucky, because you get most times in footy, you say, he's been in deep broken. Well, no good. How good could he be? I know him very well as well. He is a very competent, very bright bloke, a good footy guy. So I'm really pleased that this has happened, because they've gone, let's get some good people. Let's do this the slow burn. We'll get somewhere. Carlton will get somewhere, because they'll make decision after decision after decision that is based on a progression, rather than going, shivers, that didn't work, let's try this. Which is, in a way, they've done. Because in the old days, when they had plenty of money, you go and buy the 5 best players in the comp back in the late or the mid-80s, and you turn into the greatest side going round. Well, you can't do that anymore.
I appreciate your comments.
It's taken a while that they've got...
I really love your comments, and it's spot on. And look, it's the right way to do it in this day and age, of course. You know that. But I'll tell you the other thing, and KB, this is real, okay? Is that early in my time, I went to all members and looked for some feedback. What would you do? And I think I've told you this before. There was 3,000 responses. It was fantastic. Mm. And the thread through the whole thing was no more white knights, no more messiah sort of approach. Can we build something that lasts? Now, I mean, to be honest, that was always the intention. But we feel like we've got a mandate from our own people to do it this way.
And so, you have, and the good thing is, because you're a big club, you may not have them right at the moment, but you will have the resources. You just know that you'll grow. You'll get to where you need to get to. Yeah. I mean, well, that's the way from sitting out. I don't know the numbers, but it looks like that.
There's probably other things to talk about besides Carlton, by the way, this morning in grand final.
KB loves talking about a club that's not going all that well. So I think he's probably prepared to talk about it for another 15 minutes.
But the other thing, Neil, from a club perspective, you know this so well, having been involved in the game for as long as you have, is that it's absolutely imperative if you're going to build anything to have your board settled,
that's right,
it congruent with your management, and then internally everyone stitched together. And again, this is easy to say, but I honestly believe that Mark's doing a fantastic job, Mark Legutacher, with the board in terms of its number, in terms of its skill set. It's stitched together with its management, and I honestly believe we're ready to be able to build something.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we can take your calls to 94291116. What's on your mind in sport? And also, want to talk about the grand final. We'll come back with Neil Baum, DC, Dave Cobbin, and, of course, Stephen Trigg. Welcome back. It's 23 minutes past 10, and Stephen Trigg has joined us, the CEO of Carlton. We've got DC. He's got the big issue coming up as well. Neil Baum, very, very shortly, is going to tell us all the comings and goings at Collingwood as well. He loves to tell us what's happening in Trade Week, and also Stephen Trigg will tell us what's happened with Yaron and also Henderson as well. Dave joins us in Melton. G'day, Dave.
G'day, KB. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're going great.
Yeah, KB, just before the break, you had a snipe at Collingwood, 2 flags since 58. Essendon Carlton have 16 flags. Collingwood have 15 flags. Or if you want to measure success by making grand finals like you do nowadays, we made about 40 grand finals. What's Richmond done?
We've done not a lot.
Thank you.
The best thing about Collingwood, that statistic
change,
with
but it doesn't change the fact that Collingwood's won 2 flags in 57 years. Mm.
The best thing about that statistic about Collingwood is that, what have they played in, 40-something grand finals and only won 16. That's magnificent. That should happen more often. Collingwood could be in the grand final every year if they lost. That would make me very happy.
Well, being in the grand final every year nearly destroyed Collingwood because they kept losing the grand finals. They had the collie wobbles. They had to bury the collie wobbles.
I think that it destroyed them. What would you rather do?
Them.
Finish where your pathetic team the finishes or finish second in the comp?
The supporters, Neil, were just being destroyed by Collingwood losing grand final after grand final after grand final.
I don't think they were.
I heard your interview yesterday with Andrew.
It doesn't seem to worry him all that much.
I heard your interview yesterday with Andrew Newbold when he rang in, and his comments during the week, which upset you greatly, that he'd be pleased if West Coast won the grand final. And I'm with Neil. It's, if you judge your performance solely on whether you win in a competition of 18 teams where only one can, it's like going to the Olympics. If you only judge whether you win the gold medal and second, third, fourth or 10th or whatever is a failure, then you're going to live your life pretty disappointed, aren't you?
I said to Andrew Newbold, you can be very humble and you can be very gracious in defeat, but I don't think you can be pleased that you've lost.
Why
the grand
wouldn't you
final.
Be? Well, you, but you can, you're not
I pleased
that you've
be
lost.
Pleased you're, pleased, you lost the grand
you're,
final.
You're pleased for the other side because you respect their club and what
they've
done.
For them. You're not pleased for the other side.
What if we only came second in the ratings?
You recognise their win and you're humble about their win. And
you
you're,
told
and you're
me
gracious,
last week that
and
you were
gracious.
Pleased.
But I don't think you'd be pleased that you'd tell the players, after if Hawthorn loses this grand final and they're sitting out there in the MCG with their head between their knees and tears running down their face, have Andrew going around saying, don't worry, very pleased for their president, Alan Cransberg. I mean, he's a great bloke and he's been in the job for 8 years. We're very pleased for him. Try telling Alistair Clarkson that.
If you've been beaten by a better team on the
rubbish.
Day, if you've given everything you've got. Last week, KB, you told me last week that you were happy that Crunch Time won the best football program, and I was outraged that this particular segment, the hottest talkback hour in sport, hadn't won. You said you were pleased for them. That's what you said.
Because we didn't enter into it, remember?
Well,
what if we
I
did?
Agree with,
you think
I
we
agree
won?
With
would and you if we be pleased? I mean, if you were, if you, I mean, just on that with Andrew Newbold. I mean, we had a great discussion with Andrew. He said that winning's not everything, and I just said to him, well, it beats losing. But he said he'd be pleased. Would you be pleased if Carlton was in the grand final and you lost before the grand final? Would you say I'd be very pleased if Richmond beats Carlton in the grand final? I'd be happy for him.
Right now, I'd be very pleased to be in the grand final. But
exactly.
Look, I'm not sure. I didn't hear it, KB, so I'm not sure whether it was the choice of words, but it sounds like you followed it up. So this is all new to me.
No, Andrew followed it up too.
I couldn't be pleased for an opposition if you were beaten. No, I thoroughly respect them.
Correct.
And the like, but I'm not sure I could be pleased with them.
Neil, what's happening at Collingwood?
Nothing. No, you deny it. If you say it, I'll deny it.
No,
what's happening with Freeman?
What's happening with Nathan Freeman?
Is he going to St
Kilda? Is it officially?
I don't know. No, you can't. It's not trade week yet, so I don't know where
he's
going.
You've had no discussions about that.
No, not with where he's going. No, unfortunately, he said that he wants a new start. Well, he don't want a new start. He wants a start because he hasn't actually got going yet. But I found that really disappointing, more from Nathan's point of view, because to actually be drafted to a club and then to go through all the process of spending 2 years trying to get yourself there, I understand his disappointment that he's had injuries that he couldn't get over. But I'm disappointed for him. I think he's made the wrong decision for him, but I can't speak for him. The one thing is, so there's two sides of this. One is from a club point of view, what do we think? And the other side is from a humanistic point of view, if you like. Has he got rights to do this? Of course he has. We've got to respect his right to make a decision, and we will. And I don't feel any less towards him for that. I feel that from a footy point of view, I don't think he's made a good decision, but that's my opinion. But we will respect and support his decision. If that's what he wants to do, that's fine. We'll have to get someone else, but it's just the way it is.
So why is he leaving? What's this?
Well, he's had
good question.
He's been there for 2 years, and he played in the NAB Cup year before last, first game, and did his hamstring, and then couldn't recover from it, and then struggled through, and then finally had some surgery, and then played again in the NAB Cup at the start of last year, and played okay, and then sort of battled away with it, and then had minor recurrence. Minor is probably not reasonable, but a bit of a recurrence of a hammy and a few other things. And then finally came back and played a few VFL games and then was no good again. So he's had, but I think in his own mind, he's really worried that he comes back again, goes through the same process and doesn't get there. He's almost going to crush him. Mm-hmm. And he feels as though if he goes somewhere else, well, at least he's got another environment. And I understand that. I get that. I personally don't think it's in his best interest, but that's his decision. So we're disappointed to lose him, but we do, you know, he's a decent young kid. We're not crook on him. We understand that he has got the right to make a decision.
So you've missed out on Treloar. You've missed Dangerfield. Doesn't want to go to Collingwood. He said that as he got on the plane from Adelaide to Geelong. Who are you still in the race for, Neil? You can tell us.
Well, if I told you, you'd tell everyone, and that wouldn't be any good then.
Right. So you're not in the race for anyone?
Well, we're not in the race for anyone about whom I'm going to tell you.
You haven't signed Adam Treloar yet, have you, Neil?
I don't think you're allowed to, are you? Even if we had.
You
we
think you will?
To. Oh, he's indicated he wants to come to us, so we're very, very excited about that. We think that can happen.
What would you have to give up? Paul Siegman, is he gone?
Paul wants to try somewhere else too. So I'm not sure where he'll go. Not so much disappointing. People have got, you know, he's got a right to do that. He probably didn't play as well this year as he would have liked, and he thinks he might need another environment. And we would support that.
Won the medal on Anzac Day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So could he go up to the Giants for you?
We're not really. It's really up to him as to where he wants to go. Obviously, some places would be better value for us than others, but it's really his decision from that point of view.
When does trade month start? Do we have to suffer through a month of
no, I think it's only,
having had 10. A whisper that you're walking up and down the hallways of wherever it is this year?
Bummy one year missed out by about 5 seconds on the fax machine, and he was very, very grumpy.
That's not true.
You smashed it, didn't you?
That is absolutely wrong. That someone made that story up, and you're going with it.
You missed out on a player. Who was the player you missed out on because the fax machine didn't work?
I don't recall the fax machine not working.
Well, there's a very strong story around...
Does it mean it was right? I reckon it was either came out of AFL Media or the Herald Sun, one of those, and I'm not really going with either of them. It didn't actually happen.
Speaking of AFL Media, they reported yesterday that John Worsfold had been appointed the coach of the Essendon football
team. No. Wow. You're kidding.
That's what they...
Knocked me over with a feather.
They had reported that. Of course, Essendon
exclusive
denied...
Too. Exclusive.
Well, Essendon denied that because they're going through a process.
Of course they would. They haven't even spoken to Craig Bellamy yet or Sheeds. Sheeds is just, he's been, you know, Sheeds hasn't
I don't think
sat
Craig
down.
Bellamy's Sheeds, the right coach for them.
Sheeds
somehow.
Is the consultant. They can't make a decision before they speak to Craig and also Sheeds.
Right.
But for AFL.com.au to go with that story that John Worsfold is going to coach the Essendon
Has been
club,
appointed.
Has been appointed. I mean that's from left field.
So with that, if Sheeds is going to be that, does he have to be involved in the counted in the soft cap for football, Sheege, if he's going to do these football-related matters?
He's only a consultant.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably why they haven't asked him. They can't afford to pay.
He's a consultant. Richard has joined us in Mulgrave. Wants to talk about Collingwood's lack of success, Richard.
Yes, well, look, I'm a Collingwood supporter many years. It irks me that people do talk about the success. We do get the two flags in 50-odd years, but let's wind it back and put some time perspective in it. We've won four since 53, the same as Geelong. Three more than Footscray. just a couple, about the same as Melbourne, maybe one less. Three more than St Kilda. The same amount as North. The list goes on, mate. Just get them in perspective. And can I just say one thing?
Yep.
On Saturday, West Coast, if they win, they will be the most successful team in the last 24 years. Did you know that?
No.
Think about it.
Why are they going to be the most successful?
I am thinking about that. Can you? How?
That, well, they've won 91. Sorry, yeah, they won 92, 94, 2006. If they win again this time, it'll be four flags since 92. In that same period, Hawthorn's won three flags, Brisbane's won three flags, Geelong have won three flags.
There you go, KB. The most successful club, West Coast.
Those figures correct?
Sounds right.
I'm not. Sure can't.
Who else has won?
A case for someone, one of those teams winning four. Since 91, if you went back into the 80s, of course, it would be a completely different scenario. Essendon, when was their last premiership? 2000.
93, 2000, and...
What they won two in the 80s, didn't they? In the 90s?
84, 85, 84, 85.
No, I think you might be right. Well, stunning revelation.
If you're right, stay on the line. We'll give you a prize then because you've really done your homework there.
Now we've gone to the stats book.
We'll take a
stats
break.
Are ruining the game.
When we come back, we'll find out what Carlton's... where's Yaron going to? Chris Yaron? Where's Henderson going to?
Yep.
And also we'll find out the big issue.
Yes.
And we'll find out what Neil Barham and Stephen Trigg think about the grand
final. They might
final.
Have something to say about the big issue, I think. I'm not sure if they're going to be on my side final. When it comes to the big issue.
Okay, and the big issue, just don't tell us.
No.
Bit of
big.
Suspense.
It's big.
Welcome back. It's 23 minutes to 11, and coming up, the big issue is about to join us. And big issue is something that DC really comes in each week, and he gives this a tremendous amount of thought. And then we debate.
Normally in the car on the way in.
Then we debate the big issue.
Right.
Big issue,
ladies, gentlemen. Big issue.
Help the
others.
Would you like to buy a big
issue,
sir?
Big issue, please. Big issue.
On Hungry for Sport. Find out what's grinding our gears. The big issue.
And surely the big issue today has got to be the grand final.
Well, the big issue, KB, the big issue's become a bit serious in recent times. Remember the very first one was about the shredder, and I needed to buy that shredder, and I could get one for $5.99 from Officeworks, but I found one for $39,000, which has been working a treat. But today's big issue is cheerleading. And the news yesterday that Daniel Chick felt let down by the West Coast Eagles during their drug-infused ride to the 2006 Premiership has pretty much been greeted with universal condemnation by the football media. I don't think I'm going to get too much support from my two friends here either today. But welcome to the real world where the job of the media isn't to do the promotional cheerleading for sporting organisations. The most dangerous time before an Olympic Games is a couple of days before the opening ceremony when the media is sniffing around for the story. Usually drug stories occur just before the Tour de France. This year we saw at the World Athletics Championships the big stories about the drug revelations. And of course, last year or the year before, we saw the story about Damien Oliver on the eve of the Melbourne Cup. This is when these stories are released to get maximum impact. And quite frankly, I think it's been a bit embarrassing, the response from the football media, who haven't asked one question about Daniel Chick's claims. They've only ridiculed him. Just like they ridiculed Dale Lewis, and just like they ridiculed Jason Akermanis. Just like the cycling media, who ridiculed Frankie and Betsy Andreu when they exposed Lance Armstrong. Now, Daniel Chick's claims might be wrong, but aren't they worth investigating rather than simply pointing the finger at him and saying it's ridiculous that they've been exposed 2 days before the grand final? As you know, I'm not big on sweeping bad news under the carpet, but the stock in trade for too many sporting organisations for too long has been to ignore claims
like those made by Daniel Chick, and I reckon it's got to stop.
Do you believe, Neil, that there's an asterisk next to the 2006 Premiership win of the Eagles?
No, because we don't know anything about it. We can't prove it. It's too, you could say that about a lot of things, but you shouldn't, unless we can. Unless there's some genuine evidence and you can prove it. Otherwise, we could just make it up. We could say any time, oh, well, I reckon this bloke was doing that or this bloke was doing that. Any time anyone plays, well, he can't be playing that well under his own steam.
But we do know that Ben Cousins as high as a kite since he was about 17 years of age.
I don't know that we know that. Don't we?
Yes, when was he?
Well, I don't know that.
The thing that I know he's got a genuine problem,
but did that help him play better?
Well, he had it during his football career. Had it during his football career.
Or did that make him play better?
No, but I'm saying with an asterisk. An asterisk is something that just says, listen, 2006, yes, they won the Premiership in 2006. Now, that little asterisk, what's that there for? Well, you know, there was a bit of a concern, a bit of a problem at that time, whether or not they were on certain substances at the West Coast Eagles. And since then, you know, Ben Cousins, we know, played out his career, didn't get a positive test, never tested positive. A number of Eagles players have found themselves in situation with drugs. So is there an asterisk there?
Does that mean that affected the way they play? You're implying...
Well, it might have affected the way they play. That's why there's an asterisk.
You're implying that they played better because of this.
I don't know, they
may have, but they may have played a lot worse too. If they'd have been better people, if they had not had these problems, would they have played better? They might have won by another 10 goals.
So this is the thing that interests me in this debate, that yesterday, whenever I, listening to SEN, watching the footy show, listening to other media, AFL 360 last night, the debate was not like the debate you're just having now. The debate was, this is ridiculous on the eve of the grand final. And quite frankly, I it's not the Herald Sun's job to be the promotional organ of the AFL.
So what is their job?
Well, their job is to, if they feel that this is in the public interest and it's a newsworthy story.
It's not in the public interest.
Then
sold papers.
The timing is for them to determine. And the thing that I've always been disappointed about this 2006 Eagles, the AFL did an investigation which they've kept secret. It's revealed today that the terms of reference of that didn't include the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Well, if you don't ask the question, then you're not going to get the answer, and therefore you can rely on the fact that there's nothing to see here, move on. And we know around that time the AFL tried to avoid signing up to WADA. We know at that time that the testing was minimal at the very least. We know at that time when AFL captains were interviewed on the eve of the season that very few of them had ever been tested. So therefore, you add all those things up, KB, knowing what we know, everyone knows about performance-enhancing drugs in sport. There is a question mark, whether you like it or not. Now you've got Daniel Chick saying that he was going beyond his therapeutic use exemption when he was playing, and the football industry saying, move on, we don't want to know. Head in the sand.
Are you sure about that? Didn't Gill suggest yesterday that there would be a question or two asked? I mean, yes, I have to say, I don't...
The next step, Stephen, is to actually do something. Yeah. And the AFL are very good at saying, we're going to investigate that.
But you're making an assumption that they won't.
Well, that's because history would tell you that that's their track record. So I hope, like you, that they do actually go and do a thorough investigation. They had the opportunity when they appointed the QC, the Supreme Court Judge Bill Gillard. The terms of reference appear to be so narrow that, of course, they were going to find nothing went on. And that's, I'm a skeptic when it comes to these topics, because I don't think, like a lot of sporting organisations, you're sitting across the table from me for the first time. So I've lived through athletics and cycling, ignoring their drug problems for many, many years. And we know where that ended up. And I'm a skeptic when it comes to this. And when I see these stories, it doesn't disappoint me. It doesn't upset me. I'm used to it on the eve of whatever it is. What I would like to see is a transparent investigation, rather than sweeping it under the carpet.
A little bit of AFL defence required here. The AFL and the clubs are not sweeping anything under the carpet and are addressing substance issue.
I agree with that.
Big time, right?
Yep.
But I'll be honest, respectful of your point, I don't like the timing at all. I just think it's a negative for the game.
No, of course it is.
There's a difference between breaking news and dredging up a story from a long time ago. Now, I don't know where the responsibility lies to land it 48 hours before game time. And it just puts such a negative pall on such a beautiful week. And I don't know where the responsibility lies, whether it's the author, the paper. I don't know. I just think it's a negative. It's not breaking news. It's old news. And it could have come out at some other time.
Okay. It'd be breaking news because Daniel Chick has now come out and spoken. He said he felt bulletproof.
When did he speak?
Well, I don't know when they actually spoke to him. But it's a little bit different than in the past. People have assumed that some of these players may have been on substances. But he's actually now come out and said they were on substances and he felt bulletproof. In fact, you could hit him and bump him as hard as you like. He couldn't feel a thing.
Pretty convenient that West Coast happened to be in the grand final this week.
That's the maximum effect. It's like, just before the last World Athletics Championships, the German television documentary had an expose in what they believed was the IAAF sitting on drug information, and they waited until the eve of the World Championships to release that. We regularly see the release from L'Equipe and Gazzetta dello Sport, the release of Tour de France drug information on the eve of the Tour de France. That's just you guys have been around for long enough to know that this is what happens.
Yeah, of course we do. So, it doesn't mean you have to like it.
But there's been zero discussion about the issue that Daniel Chick's raising, and this is my point on this, that we're all just dismissing it and ridiculing him rather than saying, well, hang on, what is the actual truth behind what went on at the West Coast Eagles?
Were those questions
at that
asked when he actually made his statement? Did he only make his statement 2 days ago?
I don't think so.
Wouldn't the questions have been asked since then? That's what you're saying, but they probably didn't, because we don't want to know those answers.
Well, this story would have been just as effective last week or the week before or the week before while West Coast are still playing.
You don't have to ask the questions within 1 minute. There will be questions asked. There's no doubt about that. One of the interesting things, I was listening to Wayne Bennett. I don't always agree with what he says. He's pretty straightforward, though. When some player does something, he said, I'm sick of the game copping the blame for everything every idiot does. Mm-hmm. Not, he didn't say the word idiot. Yeah. Every player does. At some point, we as administrators go, surely, where is the player's responsibility within this? Now, I know the club plays a big part, and I understand how it works, but it's always the game's fault. It's never the players made
a bad
decision.
Well, in this instance, Chick's allegations are that the club were responsible for that. Now, of course, the club...
Yeah. Well, why didn't every other player do it?
Well, we don't know how many players were involved.
We don't know.
There seems to be quite a few.
I don't reckon it'd be all of them.
Well, we know.
That won't be all of them.
You can probably count more than them on both hands. There seems to be more than one. But again, I just don't understand why the AFL report wasn't released. If there's nothing to see, that transparency on this, otherwise our imagination...
Well, there probably is a lot to see. We have an illicit drugs program that we don't even know about. So there are a lot of issues.
And this
around
was at the very beginning
disclosure.
Of it, remember?
Yeah,
and I understand the privacy of the players, etc. But
well, I don't quite understand it. But that's what we're.
There are a lot of issues surrounding that time in the game, and they will continue to be dredged up unless they're properly and transparently revealed.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the big issue. As we take a break,
we're coming back.
We can take your calls, and Stephen Triggers joins along with DC, who's fired up today, and Barmy is very, very anxious to have a crack. Just to answer your question, Neil, we've been told off the SMS machine by someone who knows that Daniel actually spoke to Rita Panahi, who had that story in the front page of Herald Sun, 2 weeks ago. So the interview was 2 weeks ago. Just
why,
to answer your question.
Why didn't they publish it then if
well,
it was such
I
a big
know.
Story?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they were just
lawyers
writing the story. It might have been lawyers as well.
I understand why.
Who knows?
And I half jokingly ever shot at the Herald Sun, but they don't miss an opportunity
to
sell papers.
They don't miss
an opportunity to sell papers, which is why they're such a wonderful organisation.
They're in the business to do that, Neil.
Well, yeah, but what kind of responsibility do they have as to when they do
none.
It? And when they None. That's right. Exactly.
They don't have any responsibility.
Exactly.
Tommy joins us in Seaford. G'day, Tom.
Oh, g'day, Kev. Neil, and sorry, who's the other chap in there?
Mr. Delusional himself.
DC.
Good on you, fellas. Just before I talk about the Hawthorn-Collingwood thing, and I just wanted to talk about the problem with keeping that report secret. I think because that wasn't made public, and even though you don't want witch hunts, it allowed it to occur on a far more hideous level at Essendon. I mean, if that had been made public, it may not have descended as badly into what happened. So, and it's my understanding that's one of the reasons McDevitt took it out of the country, got it away from the AFL, because it was just too close to the matter and was trying to hose things down a lot.
I don't think any of us dispute that this should be made public. I think what we're really saying is it's grand final week and West Coast are playing. Is that convenient? But I think we do. You're quite right. We have to have as much clarity and exposure for all these issues. Otherwise, we've got no hope of solving them. Mm. And they're really behavioural things. They're things that are affecting young men's lives. That's kind of where we come in, more so than, you know, is it a blight on the game or is there any of these things. These young men are exposed to enormous things, and it's a huge challenge at club level for us to help them with it all. So I don't think we're disputing the fact that it should be written. I think it's a fantastic story, but we're all just a bit bemused, I suppose, that it was grand final week and the West Coast are in. It's maximum exposure for the paper, I guess, but you know, I don't suppose I should be surprised by it.
Anyway, that was the big issue.
It was a good call. I agree with you.
You're agreeing with me now.
Oh, I didn't say I was agreeing with you. That's never going to happen.
Harry joins us in Dingley. G'day, Harry.
How's it going, boys?
Good, thanks.
I'd like to talk about the drugs situation with West Coast and obviously just the whole illicit drugs policy. Seriously, the only way around it is zero tolerance. One strike, you get a 2-year ban. Second strike, you're banned from the game for life, and that's it.
Well, I agree with zero policy.
This is illicit drugs or performance enhancing?
Illicit drugs, performance enhancing. It's illegal behaviour.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to know because the performance enhancing ones are pretty well looked after. If you're caught for performance enhancing, you're done for a long time. But that's reasonable. Illicit drugs is an enormously difficult issue for we in footy to deal with because people at my age and stage don't even recognise that it exists. So we're struggling with it. Mm. And the AFL are even struggling with it. But I think if we watch this space, the AFL are really working very hard to give us a better outcome than we've got at the moment. It's right now it's a welfare-based program that just looks after the people. Well, it's got to be more than that, we think, to make sure we can knock it out.
Now, the big issue was so big that we're just starting to run out of time, so we've got to take a break. Got to find out for Richmond supporters. That big issue is
we've spent the whole day
boiling over.
Before grand final, not talking about the grand final, which is not ideal.
No, I've spoken about it all morning with Greg, and we've taken all calls this morning.
I agree with that. We should have been talking about the grand final, because there is nothing better than an AFL grand final from a sporting events perspective.
No, there's plenty of that coming up. We've spoken a lot about that this morning. But the big issue is
an important issue.
What we want to know is Chris Yaron. Is he going to Richmond? Are you offloading Chris Yaron?
We've got a lot of balls in the air at the moment, I can tell you. We know that we need to make some change. But in the case of Yaron and Bell, for example, I mean, they're contracted footballers. We want them to stay at our football club. Where there's talent and there's some character and some care, we want them to stay. I don't know whether Chris has nominated Richmond yet. Richmond haven't come to us on that, so time will tell. But what I will say to Carlton supporters is, and I get a lot of this feedback, is, you know, we need to work really hard to get the best outcome. We haven't made a big noise about it so far, but I assure you we'll be cracking in as hard as we can if there's any movement to get the best we can for the Blues.
Steve, you're tipping for the grand final?
I'm tipping Hawthorn. I reckon there's a statistical disadvantage on a shorter break and travelling, and that's just proven. And I reckon that Hawthorn have just got a bit more experience.
DC, who wins? Hawks, Neil?
Hawks are very good, but I wouldn't discount the West Coast.